Creating Change with Doug Foresta, a show dedicated to creativity and emotional healing. Creating Change on Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Here's your host, Doug Foresta.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Creating Change. This is Doug Foresta, and very excited to have with me today Kimberly Payne, a motivational speaker and author. We're going to be talking about a topic that has been on my mind a lot this week because I've been fighting the flu for the past 4 days or so. So health is a we're going to be talking about health. And, you know, of course, health has a lot of different dimensions to it. And I think we'll cover we'll definitely cover that. So we're going to be talking about some simple strategies to improve your health. And I think that I definitely think that you'll get a lot out of this episode. You know, it's in those moments, I think, where health is one of those things that you don't think about that much until you lose it. So, it's good for us to think about it, while we're still healthy. So, let me say a little bit about my guest. Kimberly Payne is a motivational speaker and author who writes on topics to encourage moms in fitness, family, and faith. And through her work, she, hopes to inspire women to live healthier lives that glorify God. And you can visit her website at KimberlyPayne.com. It's spelled KimberlyPayne.com. We'll put that link on the website as well. Kimberly, thanks for joining me.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thanks. So, actually, the first question I'll ask you that I'm really curious about is how did you get interested and how did you start working with people about living healthier lives?
Well, I first got interested when I became pregnant with my first child. And up to that point, I was not a healthy individual. I did not enjoy exercise at all. I was a pack-a-day smoker. And when I realized that I had a little baby growing inside me, I thought, you know what, it's not just about me anymore. I need to make some healthy choices, some changes. And so what I did was I quit smoking cold turkey, one of the hardest things I've ever done. And I started to walk, you know, a little bit around my block. And at the same time, I walked past a YMCA and thought, okay, I can get some help in there, and joined the local YMCA and just sort of gathered, you know, information through the participating in some of the workshops and the workouts that they had at the YMCA. And just in my interest to learn more, I decided to take the basic theory course, and then that kind of led to a weight training course, and that led to a personal training course, and I became a personal trainer to help other people, you know, and to share what I had learned.
I think that's great. And, you know, one of the things I was thinking about, you know, as prepping for this episode is the connection between physical health and emotional health, because a lot of times on the show, we talk a lot about the emotional side of things, but, you know, again, like just, I know like when I'm not feeling well, it's hard when we're not healthy. I mean, I wonder if you found this, you know, it's hard to feel emotionally right if you're not feeling physically right.
Oh, absolutely. There is, you know, there's a proven tie between the two. You know, when you think about your spirit and your emotions and your physical health, they are all absolutely related. And so you're right. When you can actually feel a difference when you physically go out and just do a 10-minute walk, how that affects your emotions. You know, it's just try it and you'll see that just even yeah. 10 minutes, you know, physically will affect you emotionally.
Well, let's talk about some of these tips that you have here. One of them is something that I think, you know, I know that I've read before, but haven't really fully thought about, is the idea of the importance of eating breakfast, right?
Yes, yes. Breakfast is the most important meal of the day. You know, when you look at the word itself and you break it in half, it's break the fast. So when you're sleeping how many hours a night? 7, 8, 9 hours. And all that time you're not eating. So when you first wake up, you really need to put fuel in the tank. And breakfast is the most important meal of the day. Ideally, you want to eat breakfast like a king and lunch like a queen and dinner like a pauper. That's one way to look at it. But, you know, starting with breakfast, I know a lot of people like to skip breakfast thinking, okay, that'll help me with losing weight, or, you know, I just don't have time, or whatever. But it is really the most important meal of the day. I found that when my kids were teenagers, well, they still are, but a few years ago when they didn't want to have breakfast, they would get up at the last possible minute to race out to catch the bus, that even having like a protein shake, you know, was better than nothing. So to introduce, you know, breakfast if you're not already eating it, and if you are eating it, to, you know, make sure that you're getting protein and carbohydrates together in your breakfast.
You also had a really interesting concept that I never heard of, which is about fast. What does it mean to fast television? Is that the right?
Yeah, television basically is, you know, a lot of negative energy. So when you're watching television, you know, again, there's been studies done that prove that your system just kind of really shuts down, and there's, you know, nothing really that good about watching television. And so if you know, what I've done is I've decided to fast television on one day a week, and I've chosen Sundays, where any time that I even think about television or a television show or turning on the TV, I use that time in prayer. So I will, you know, pray for an individual or for my own health or, you know, something specific. So when it comes to fasting, a lot of time, you know, people equate fasting with just food, but you can fast computer time, you can fast television. I pick television because it is one that is a drainer of your energy. And so if you're looking for better health, more health, some people think, you know, oh, I'm just going to sit in front of the TV and relax. Well, it actually isn't, you know, a relaxing tool. It is something that is a draining and, you know, gives you negative energy. So to fast that and instead use that time, you know, whether, you know, you want to pray or whether you decide to do something other constructive, is much better.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I fasted my TV away, so I don't even own a TV at this point.
Wow.
I haven't owned a TV in several years, and I have to say that I really don't miss it.
Yeah. I would love to do that. I don't think my husband would let me get away with it.
Well, the interesting thing about it is that, you know, and I'm not telling people to get rid of their TVs, but I just like the idea, though, of it is true. I mean, like you said, I'm just going to relax and watch TV, but it's a great question to ask yourself is, are you really relaxing? Are you actually taking a healthy break?
Exactly, yeah. You know, you hear the types of shows that are on nowadays, too. You know, they just really aren't empowering. You know, they're very negative. There's a lot of garbage that is out there, a lot of negative images that are out there. And, you know, that's something when you say, you know, garbage in, garbage out sort of thing. So you have to watch what you're putting into your body.
And I think it's really fascinating to think about the relationship between television and your health. I mean, the other thing I would imagine is that, you know, the time that you're spending, it's sedentary, right? I mean, you're spending time, most people don't stand up and watch television. They're sitting and watching television.
Exactly. And those are the times when, I know for me personally, if I'm sitting down in the evening and watching television, that's the time where I get the munchies, you know, and I just want to mindlessly eat. And those are the times I know that the majority of people that I've ever talked to say, yeah, nighttime is my hard time, you know, and it's because your brain is turned off and you just mindlessly eat and you're not doing anything active. It's just, you know, it's a three-way negative experience.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. So, so taking a break from TV is a really good strategy to be healthier. Let's talk about water, because that I know that's a question that I hear a lot from people about how much water should I drink, how often should I be drinking. So maybe you could say a little bit about the connection between water and health.
Mm-hmm. Water is imperative for your health. Now, we've heard a lot out there about, you know, 8 cups. You have to have 8 cups, and that's a bit of a myth. You know, I don't think that you need a specific amount. The way that you can measure whether you are getting enough water during the day is to have a look at your urine. You know, if your urine is a mild, you know, kind of whitish yellow, that is what you're looking at to see whether you're getting enough water or not. Most people are not in tune in their bodies to thirst. And so we're not really fully aware of whether we are getting enough or not. And checking it once a day, your urine is a good indicator to see whether you're getting enough water. But, a lot of times we have that 3 p.m. slump, you know, where you think, oh, I could just go for a good chocolate bar or something like that just to pump some energy. That's a great time to drink water. There's so many good things about water, how it improves your concentration. And, we are 80% water, and it's imperative that we're drinking it and getting enough into our system. Now, you can also get water in different ways. You know, if you you can get water through just drinking herbal teas. You know, anything that's decaffeinated. You don't want a caffeine drink because that actually takes away water from your body. You can also get water through foods. You know, like watermelon is an awesome source of water. You know, so those are other ways to get water into your body too.
That's great, and I would imagine again that when we're not. When we're dehydrated, it's hard to feel okay.
Exactly. Yeah, because you're tired. You get irritable. You can't concentrate as well. You know, so it does affect a number of things when you're dehydrated, and even a little bit when you find that you're actually thirsty, that you are dehydrated at that point. And so you never really want to get to that point where you're feeling thirsty.
Yeah. That once you actually feel thirsty, that's really too late.
Exactly.
I just want to say to listeners too, you know, if you're, when you're listening to this, and if you're thinking, I can imagine a listener thinking, well, I know this stuff. Well, let me ask you a question: Are you doing it? If you know it, the question is: If you know it and you're not doing it, then why not? You know, and so I what I like about this episode is really giving people some great sound advice and a really good reminder. About, you know, if you're not feeling well emotionally, if you're not feeling like you're at your best, are you doing some of these basic things, right? Are you doing these, I should say basic, more like base, you know, these are like base things we need to do, you know, drink water, eat breakfast, you know, don't gorge out on TV. You know, that I would imagine that, you know, life looks a lot different.
Yeah. And you're right. They're very simple strategies that we can just put into our day that most of us know, but you're right, we need to have a checklist and check in, because over time, sometimes you just forget, or you just, I don't have time for breakfast, or, I haven't been drinking my water, and every night I'm watching, you know, 3-4 hours of television. So it is important to, you know, do the check-in and say, okay, where am I right now and how can I improve my emotional health? These are very simple strategies you can put into place today.
So I also, you had something really interesting, which is about the importance of exercising outdoors. And I have absolutely no idea what the difference is of exercising outdoors versus exercising indoors. So I really look forward to hearing more about this.
Yeah, I'm a real advocate of exercising outdoors. The main reason, and when I think of outdoors, I'm thinking of, you know, getting to a park, getting into a woods if you can, if you do have that opportunity, mainly because of the oxygen. You know, the woods are just oxygen rich, and that really helps with your brain activity, with your emotions. We are, you know, individuals who generally love nature, you know, and to be in beauty is soothing to the soul, and just to have the oxygen into your body and really feeding it. When we're always around concrete, we're just not getting that same healthy benefit that you do when you're out of doors.
So how about, I'm thinking though, for people who live in, like, you know, cold weather, I'm not sure, actually don't know where you live, Kimberly, if But if we live in a place where you have a change of seasons and it's cold, is it still possible to exercise outdoors for a good portion of the year? And
yeah, I'm in Canada.
Oh, okay. So yeah, you're not in San Diego, right?
Yeah, and I get the cold seasons. And what I did about 3 or 4 years ago is I bought myself a pair of snowshoes because to try and walk, which is my number one activity, you know, here, and I live in the country, without snowshoes is crazy. So, absolutely. Every season, you know, you want to get outside. And I'm a lover of changing up activities. So in the summertime, you know, I like to do bicycling because, you know, it's usually hot and humid in Canada and Ontario where I am. And so to be on a bike, you get that nice air. In the fall time, you know, this time of year, it's great to actually get into, you know, hiking in the woods and, you know, when there's no bugs. And then in the wintertime, you know, you got the snowshoeing or the skating outside. Skiing as well is another great activity. You know, especially cross.
So right, so there's always something year long that you could do.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. And you know, you just have to have the right equipment. You know, making sure that for the season, if it's summertime, that you've got your sunscreen, your sun hat on. You know, in the wintertime, you've got your warm clothes on, your layers, and you know, even in the winter, that you're drinking your water, because a lot of times you might not feel like you need it, like you do in the summertime because you're sweating, but you do need it as well. So yeah, absolutely, getting outside in all the seasons and trying to enjoy, you know, the world around you.
So so I know that you also the next one we're going to talk about is about, I know you're talking about a simple prayer method, and I will say, and you know, in full disclosure, my listeners know me pretty well. I'm not necessarily personally myself a big prayer person, but I know that many of my listeners are, and so I'd love to hear more about this. Can you say more about the simple prayer method?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I'm a fan of prayer walks. You know, again, walking is my thing, and praying during that time is something that I like to do. And for me, you know, that's just conversation with my God. And I have a simple prayer method that I did with my kids when they were young, to help them, you know, to pray. And a lot of times, we come to God with a whole list of things. So, okay, this is what I want. And that's not really, you know, having any kind of relationship with a God. And so the method that I came up with is called the Path to Prayer. So P-A-T-H. And the P stands for praise, you know. So I praise God, you know, for who he is. You know, he is a good father to me. He is compassionate. You know, he is loving. He is merciful. So, you know, to start my prayers with praising him for who he is. And then the A stands for admit. So there's where I come to God and I admit things that I've said, things that I've thought, things that I've done that are wrong. The third is T in path, and that stands for thank. And that's where I can thank God, you know, for all the things that he's given me. You know, thank him for the weather for that day to get out. Thank him that my heart is pumping nicely and that I can, you know, exercise. Thank him for, you know, the food that I have to eat. And then the third is H, and it stands for help. And that's where I can turn my prayers to asking God for, you know, help with what's going on in the world, what's going on in my family, you know, specific personal needs that I have. So it's a simple sort of acronym to remember and, you know, to engage and kind of get into conversation with my God. You know, it's the path to prayer: praise, admit, thank, and help.
And I can picture for, so thank you for sharing that, you know, and I can picture for people who, let's say for listeners who may have a different faith or no faith at all, I think the concept too of spending that meditative time, I mean, we don't take enough time, I think, to stop and be grateful and, you know, think about our lives. So, I think that, you know, certainly for anyone, anyone, regardless of their beliefs, I think could definitely take away from that the idea of taking some time and stopping, because, again, I think we're just, it's such a, we live in this go, go, go culture where we never stop. Right.
Yeah, exactly. And that's one of the reasons I always look forward to Thanksgiving coming up.
Yeah.
Because you know, that is something where we finally, as a country, sort of say, yeah, thanks, you know.
Except here in America, we spend the whole day watching the Detroit Lions on TV.
Yeah, we do too.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I don't know if they do that in Canada, but, you know, and gorge ourselves.
Yeah. And then the next day you feel sorry about it.
but right. The idea that, right, once a year we take that time to be thankful or grateful, versus doing that year round.
Yeah. And emotionally, you know, I remember years ago when I was in a really dark place, you know, and my girlfriend gave me a gratitude journal. And she said, I want you every day to write out 5 things you're grateful for. And, you know, at the time, I was like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, what can I be grateful for? This is happening. This is wrong. That's wrong. And I took the challenge. And, you know, there were some days where I was just grateful to look up and see a cobweb that looked pretty, you know. But, you know, to take that, it really did change my emotional state. And it did help me to focus on the good and things that I could be thankful for.
Yeah, there's I don't know if you're familiar with not that I'm trying to do a plug for them or anything, but Heart Math. I don't know if you've heard of Heart Math.
No, I haven't.
I really like their stuff. They've done all this research, and they have something where they've shown that just changing your state to gratitude really has a positive effect on your heart. And I've always thought that's interesting, you know, that, I mean, it seems pretty intuitive that if we hold on to anger or resentment or things like that, that it's going to, you know, that it's going to eat at us. But it turns out the opposite is true too, that, that all these other things, you know, really, really, you know, looking at what we're grateful for and visualizing that helps to, you know, helps with heart health.
Yeah, I believe that entirely. I can understand that. You're right. When you can see that, you know, someone who is holding on to bitterness, unforgiveness, you know, that can physically manifest itself, you know. So it would only make sense that someone who is, you know, thinking on gratitude and being thankful and, you know, being forgiving, that sort of thing, that it too would then, you know, physically manifest itself in healthier ways.
So let me ask you this, Kimberly, as we're the time has flown by. If somebody, you know, says, you know what, I've listened to this and yeah, I know I need to be healthier, but gosh, there's so much that it just seems overwhelming. Where do I even start? Where would you suggest somebody start if they just want to, you know, they just want to get started and living a healthier lifestyle?
Right. Start with the basics. You know, like having a look at the simple things that we've already talked about today. I do offer on YouTube a little video that goes into a little bit more detail about, you know, I have 14 things that you can do, simple things that you can do. But just starting with the basics, I do offer a 60-day spiritual and physical health challenge. It just started, so the next one won't be starting till January. But
okay.
I think, you know, to focus on, you know, getting a gratitude journal, you know, going to a dollar store,
yeah,
and getting a journal, that's, you know, one simple way. Having a look at your breakfast, you know, thinking about, okay, what television can I give up?
You know, yeah.
And those are something that they can put into place today.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I mean, the strategies that you've shared today are absolutely simple things that people can start implementing. So thank you so much. I appreciate it. And again, if people want to learn more about you, the best way to do that is to visit
my website. Yeah. At www.kimberlypayne.com. Information about the Health Challenge is on my website as well.
Thank you. Kimberly Payne, thanks for joining me. And thanks, everyone, again for listening. We'll be back next week with another great guest. As always, remember, keep creating. The world needs your gifts. Till next time, this is Doug Foresta at Creating Change.